The following message first aired as a broadcast of Grace and Truth Radio, hosted by Pastor John Bodner of Hope Assembly in Mississauga, Ontario. For more information, contact www.hopeabc.org.
When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Luke 23:34-35. My theme today is, Father, forgive. When we stand at the place called Calvary, beneath the cross of Jesus, we stand at the center of all time and space, at the apex of history, and at the moral fulcrum of the universe. For this scene is the grand climax of the gospel story. It is the heart of the entire Bible. And in Jesus Christ crucified, God is revealed to man. Man is redeemed to God. The depths of sin and the heights of grace find their final measure. Hell is closed and heaven is opened. Only Christ himself can fathom and unfold the meaning of the cross. For to the Jew it was a scandal, and to the Greek it was folly. To the disciples on that day an enigma full of dire dread. And the Lord Jesus speaks in his 7 last words from the cross to reveal the riches, the pain, and the glory of the cross. This is the first of the 7 words he speaks. It breaks hours of silence as the Savior passed through the courts of Pilate and Herod, faced the jeers and taunts of the mobs, stood under the lashings of the scourge, carried his cross to the place of his death. The little detail of Roman soldiers, just a few of the company which had beaten, mocked, robed, and covered him in spittle, crowned him with thorns, his executioners, have laid him out, stripped him, and driven the nails through his hands and feet to the cursed tree. In but a moment they will raise him high into the sun to bleed and die. And now he speaks. What will he say? He might have spoken as many condemned to be crucified in his time, cursing, shrieking in agony, spitting in rage, or sobbing in pain. He could well have taken his vengeance on the spot, for in the Garden of Gethsemane he said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to the Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Matthew 6:53. The first word of Christ from the cross is prayer. As in life, at every junction of his service to the Father, in his baptism, in choosing the 12, after long days of healing and through late nights of watching, so now supremely he prays. He prays submissively, trusting himself to the Father's will and goodness, even as the nails fasten him to the cross. He prays scripturally, fulfilling his messianic call to make intercession for the transgressors whose sins he bare, among whom he is now numbered, Isaiah 53:12. And what is his prayer? Not for escape, he refused that as he entered the city of Jerusalem in John 12. Not for deliverance, as he requested in righteous subjection to the Father, praying with strong crying and tears in Gethsemane, in Matthew 24 and Hebrews 5. Christ Jesus prays not for himself at all. He prays for pardon, for our pardon. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Savior's first word from the cross is a prayer for pardon. For we have no greater need as depraved, guilty, helpless sinners in the sight of a holy God. Pardon, for Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Pardon, for the foundation of all true blessing opens only when we have redemption in Christ's blood, the remission of sins in his name. Listen to this prayer. Listen to it. Heed. Hear it as it resounds and echoes across the nations, down the centuries, to you, to me, here and now. This prayer is your only hope in living, in dying, in time and eternity. It applies to you when the Spirit of God breaks open your heart to repent of your sin, believe on the Savior, and call on him, just as the dying thief soon would. Jesus, Lord, remember me, when you confess him, as the centurion did, truly this man was the Son of God. Father, forgive, is a costly prayer. To pray it, the Savior has stooped down to take to himself our human nature, born of the Virgin Mary, by the Holy Ghost as a helpless infant. He has spent 30 years in humble obscurity, daily growing in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man, a carpenter's son, a carpenter himself. He's given 3 years to public ministry, baptized to his death in the River Jordan, anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, doing good, healing the sick, delivering those oppressed of the devil, enduring the contradictions of men against himself, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He has spent the last month on pilgrimage to Jerusalem just for this purpose, setting his face steadfast as a flint. He's endured betrayal, desertion of his disciples, the torments of his trial with little or no sleep for days. All this he has passed to present himself holy, harmless, and undefiled, to offer himself without spot to God, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God, to lay down his life in our place, and give his body for us to bear our sins, to sanctify his people once for all, to justify the ungodly. Fulfilling all righteousness, he gives his life a ransom for many, and only so can he pray, "Father, forgive." He utters it as the nails open from his hands and feet, the fountain of sin and uncleanness. The blood of the cross flows as he prays to sanctify, justify, ransom, cleanse, and cover his own from all sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But now he may pray, "Father, forgive." "Father, forgive" is a wondrous prayer. You can plumb the bottom of hell and touch the top of heaven when you hear this prayer, for Christ has spanned that distance to pay the price of sin and redeem his people. "Father, forgive." Wondrous in its obedience is this prayer of Christ. Christ Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. All his life he could say, "I do always the things which please my Father." He had prayed at the city gate, "Father, glorify thy name." He had taught his people, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Just as wondrous in its love, the Lord of glory, the Prince of Life himself, displays a love we cannot grasp. He taught his people, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Does he not now leave believers an example to follow in his steps? Only the night before in the upper room, he assured his confused disciples, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." And now he does. John, the beloved disciple, stands near the cross to witness it all. And he writes at the end of his days, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We love him, because he first loved us." You grasp the length of all love and obedience when you hear Jesus pray so, for none have ever so loved or obeyed as he. "For Father, forgive" is a complete prayer, for it takes in its breath all the ages and nations of the earth. There is a measure of reprieve and mercy in this prayer, even for the lost. The Savior so prayed and restrained the judgment of God against the soldiers as they crucified him, against the Sanhedrin and nation of Israel for a full generation of 40 years, while the apostles and churches gave witness to his resurrection life and reign. It doubtless shortens the tribulations of this age till he comes for his church's sake, and makes sure that even the godless who perish have tasted of God's common goodness and gifts to their own condemnation. But the Savior does not here pray for the world in its sin. He prays for his own, gathered out from the world in electing mercy and grace. It reaches among the soldiers and touches the centurion. It opens paradise to the penitent thief as it opens hell to the railing thief. It preserves backsliding, fallen Peter and the fearful, cowardly disciples while it sends Judas to his own place. It opens the heart of John to the Lord's mother, and it spans all who believe upon this same Jesus to life everlasting. "Father, forgive" is an answered prayer, For the Savior who once pleaded our pardon upon the cross now reigns at the right hand of God the Father in heaven to plead for it now in glory, wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That prayer was answered on the day the dying thief entered paradise with the Savior, as the centurion trembled and confessed him, as multitudes left the scene shaken and convicted. That prayer was answered as the risen shepherd reclaimed his disciples and restored Peter, as the King of Glory called for 3,000 men to repentance, faith, and baptism on the day of Pentecost, as thousands more obeyed the gospel, including multitudes of the priests, till James could report to Paul how many thousands in all Judea believed. That prayer is answered still as unnumbered millions of favored sinners, men, women, boys and girls, bond and free, Jew and Gentile, black, white, red and yellow, have been drawn to the uplifted Savior and heard the message of his atoning blood. That prayer has been answered for me. It covers and cleanses my many sins. It shall keep me safe to glory. It has been answered for my wife, for my parents, for my brothers and sisters in our churches. Now what of you? All ye that pass by, to Jesus draw nigh. To you is it nothing that Jesus should die? Your ransom and peace, your surety he is. Come see if there ever was sorrow like his. He dies to atone for sins not his own. Your debt he hath paid, and your work he hath done. Ye all may receive the peace he did live, who made intercession, my Father, forgive. For you and for me he prayed on the tree. The prayer is accepted, the sinner is free. The sinner am I who on Jesus rely, and come for the pardon God cannot deny. His death is my plea, mine advocate see, and hear the blood speak that has answered for me. He purchased the grace which now I embrace. O Father, thou knowest he hath died in my place.
This message was sponsored by Hope Assembly of Bible Christians in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. If you wish to receive spiritual help, information about our ministries, or permission to use this audio message, please contact Pastor John Bodner at www.hopeabc.org or www.jpbodner.com. Thank you, and God bless you.